1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 18 down through 21. Here's what the Bible says. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight, for each one that's here, for another time in your house. And I pray that you would make tonight profitable and practical for each one of us. Sometimes we look into the Bible and there's just a lot of practical truth there. And tonight, as we talk about this thing called preaching, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts, that Holy Spirit, you would use the message tonight in a real practical way in all of our lives. If there's somebody here that doesn't know Christ as their Savior, I pray tonight that they would make that decision to receive Jesus. For it's in His name we pray. Amen. I've been thinking for the past couple of weeks that we've made a mistake for the past 17 years calling our services on Sunday morning and Sunday night worship services. Because I've been digging deep into the word worship. And as I dig deep into that word worship, let me tell you that I get down to the very, very root word of that word worship. And it comes from a word that talks about a dog licking the hand of its master in love and devotion to that master. Now, that's what the word means. And so when we have, and so worship, for the most part, as we worship is when we show our affection to God. I mean, when we like that dog, and you may not like the picture, but again, I'm just telling you what the word means. And some of you have dogs, and they do show their affection to you, and you like it when they do that. Well, so does God. He likes it when we show our affection to Him, and that's what worship is. Now, I'm sure many people, when they come to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, they worship. They show affection to God. But for the most part, you do most of your worship when you're by yourself, when you're alone, when you're out in the woods, or when you're sitting in your favorite rocking chair and you just talk to God and you just tell Him that you love Him. Now, again, people, when they come to church Sunday morning and Sunday night, they can worship. I mean, they can express their love to God. But probably not everybody that comes to a service on Sunday morning or Sunday night is worshiping. And so I thought it would be better to call these services what they really are. Not worship service, but preaching meetings. Preaching services, however you want to say it. Because every time we get together in a morning service or in an evening service, preaching goes on. And really, preaching, every church should be built around preaching. I mean, and again, I don't want anybody to walk away tonight thinking I'm trying to uplift me as a preacher. I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to uplift the Word of God. I'm trying to uplift this thing called preaching that God gave us, and you'll see in just a little bit what I'm talking about, but I'm trying to uplift this thing that God gave us called preaching. And preaching has two purposes as I study the Bible. Number one, it's to save the sinner. We read about here in 1 Corinthians where it says, by the foolishness, that it pleased God, by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. That verse was running through my mind this morning when I sat down on Brother Leonard's lap. I said, boy, this looks kind of foolish. But I was trying to make a point. And he didn't mind it. Did you, Brother Leonard? No, okay. the foolishness of preaching. I mean, I'm sure there were people here this morning that didn't like the story as it was told and acted out. This is foolish. Well, the foolishness of preaching is what saves people. And then the second reason for preaching is to strengthen the saint. I mean, It's to get us straightened out and to strengthen us and to encourage us and exhort us. That verse in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I was talking to somebody this morning about, I think that we're living in the last days. Jesus is getting ready to come soon, and we need to be exhorting one another. And we need to be encouraging one another and stir one another up to good works, as the Bible says there in verse 24 of Hebrews chapter 10. And so I want to tell you tonight that I think preaching is important. And I think the fact that you're here tonight says the same thing, that you think preaching is important. And if it has two purposes, to save the sinner and to strengthen the saint, then it is mighty important, because those are two important things that need to be done, not only every time we come into this place, but every day of the week. Sinners need to be saved every single day. Saints need to be strengthened every single day. And preaching is a way that God has chosen, God has ordained to do those two things. So here's my premise for tonight. If preaching is so important, and I hope you agree with that statement, then how do I get the most out of it? If it is important because it saves the sinner, and if it is important because it strengthens the saint, how do I listen to preaching and get everything out of it that God wants me to get? That's the subject of my message tonight. How to listen to preaching. How to listen to preaching. I got 15 points. Okay, 15, you might say, oh, are we going to be here a long? I see Diane's already putting her head on Dick's shoulder, weeping. But I promise that if you listen, we'll probably get out a little bit before 7 o'clock. And I want to tell you right up front, this is a very simple, very practical message. So practical that I hesitated to bring it on a Sunday night. I said, well, I'm going to wait till we get through the book of Acts. But I felt the Lord just leading me. And so I want you to listen tonight to these 15 things about how we listen to preaching. How do we get ready? How do we get everything out of preaching that God wants us to get? Number one, the way you get what God wants to get out of preaching is begin your preparation for preaching on Saturday night. Don't wait till you get here to get ready. Start on Saturday night. Here, everything that we do on Saturday afternoon and Saturday, you guys are smiling back there. It always makes me worry when you two guys smile. But everything we do on Saturday night, here's the question that we ought to ask ourselves before we do it. Is this thing that I'm about to do, will it help prepare my heart and mind to hear preaching tomorrow morning? Everything we do. If you're going to watch a TV program on Saturday night, ask the question, if I watch this TV program, will it help my heart and mind get ready to hear the preaching tomorrow? If you're going to go to a movie, ask the question, what I see in this movie, is it going to get my heart and my mind ready to hear preaching tomorrow morning? If you're going to go to a party, or if you're going to read a book, if you're going to watch a video, whatever you do, whatever activity, I would encourage you, ask the question, is what I'm about to do on Saturday afternoon, Saturday night, is it going to get my heart and my mind ready to hear the preaching tomorrow? Ask that question. And now, this is still part of point one. I'll tell you when I get to point two. Go to bed earlier on Saturday night. You know what most of us do? Most of us stay up later on Saturday night than we do any other week, any other night of the week. And here's what we're saying when we do that. What I do on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday is more important than what I do on Sunday. Because on Saturday night, I'll stay up till the bats come out. And I'll get into, you know, and I won't get my rest, and I'll come in to church Sunday morning and I'll be groggy. I know some people fall asleep during the announcements and they don't wake up till the invitation is starting to come. Now look, if preaching is important, then it ought to capture our mind, and we ought to be alert and we ought to be awake when we come to this place. And all I'm saying is, why don't you go to bed a little bit earlier on Saturday night than you usually do to get the rest, so that when you come into this place, you can be awake and you can be alert. I would encourage you to do this, especially you that have children. lay out your clothes and their clothes on Saturday night. Don't get up on Sunday morning and worry and fuss about what you're going to wear. Have it all planned out. If Chris, if you lay out Sam's clothes for him, do it on Saturday night. I'm just teasing. See if you were listening. But that's what I'm saying. Especially you that have children. Lay out those clothes on Saturday night. If they're going to fuss with you, let them fuss on Saturday night about what they're going to wear as opposed to doing it on Sunday morning. Plan your breakfast out. I mean, don't get up on Sunday morning and fuss about what you're going to have for breakfast. Have it all planned out so when you get up on Sunday morning, you'll know what you're going to wear, you'll know what you're going to eat, and you can come to church without having to fuss about any of those things to hear the preaching. Before you go to bed on Saturday night, I'd encourage you to read your Bible. Just a few verses. Maybe Psalm 1. Maybe some of those eight-verse octets that we studied in Psalm 119 that talk about the Word of God. But read something from the Bible before you go to bed. When you get up on Sunday morning, don't turn on the news. I never listen to the news on Sunday morning. It's going to be news when I get home in the afternoon. It'll be news tomorrow morning. In fact, I don't turn on the news. I don't turn on the I don't read a paper. I mean, unless you guys tell me something, I don't know what goes on in the world on Sunday. I want my mind to be focused and my heart to be right to receive what God has for me in the preaching. And so if something important happens on Sunday that you think I need to know about, please, somebody tell me, because I'm not going to know. But don't turn on the news on Sunday morning. If the newspaper distracts you and gets you to worrying about stuff, wait till you get home on Sunday night to read the newspaper. I'd encourage you, when you get up on Sunday morning, turn on some Christian music. Get a tape from Brother Wendell or get a CD and play that. I can remember, I hadn't thought about this in a long time. When we were growing up, my dad on Sunday morning would always play or always tune in on the radio to the Renfro Valley Gathering. How many of you are listening to the... We're dating ourselves. Just a bunch of hillbillies down in Kentucky, and they'd sing those old hymns. And I don't think my mother liked it very much, but every Sunday we would listen to that. On Sunday morning, Dad was trying, I don't know if he knew what he was doing, but he was getting our hearts ready to hear the preaching. Never, and by the way, I'm still on point one. I'll tell you when I get to point two. Never get up on Sunday morning and ask and make this statement. Well, I wonder if we should go to church today. Don't ever get up asking that question. Hey, if you're planning on going vacation tomorrow, and you're going down to Disney World, you're not going to get up tomorrow morning and ask the question, well, I wonder if we should go. I mean, you are planning to go, you will go. That ought to be the same thing every Sunday morning. You ought to plan to go and you ought to get up and say, we're going. Have it fixed in your mind. Don't ask the question, are you going to go or not? Be happy and excited about coming to church. Don't get up on Sunday morning and have a scowl on your face and be grumpier than you are any other morning of the week and say, got to go to church today. I mean, your attitude not only affects you, but it spills over on your spouse. And if you have children, it'll spill over on your children. Oh, Dad don't want to go to church. Either do I. And if we're not careful, those little pitchers have big ears, and they will pick up on what we say and what we feel more than we ever know. See, I mean, your children and your grandchildren, I mean, get up and get excited about going to church. Boy, we get to go to church today. And the children often lead the way in this. I mean, they're the first ones up. They're ready to go. And if you don't go, they're saying, how come we're not going to church? I remember you telling me the story about Evan and they're combing his hair with the comb, your comb, getting ready to go to church. And that's the way every single one of us should be. I mean, we should be excited. It's Sunday, and we get to go to find the Son of God. We get to hear the preaching. We get to be with God's people. And we ought to be excited as we go to church. I'm still on point one. I'll let you know when I get to point two. Don't get in the car and start fussing with one another. No, don't do that. I mean, if it's just the two of you, if you got your grandkids with you, if you got your kids with you, don't get in the car and start fussing on the way to church. I mean, if you, I mean, again, talk about how excited you are to go to church. Turn on the CD or the cassette and play some Christian music. Talk about how good it is. Look, there are people all over the world that would give their firstborn to do what we did this morning. Come to church without having to worry about the police or the government coming and arresting them, coming into a place, freely opening the Word of God, freely presenting the gospel without any repercussion. And there are people all over the world that would get excited about what we took for granted this morning. Now, and so what I'm saying is, when you come, keep that in the back of your mind. Hey, I live in a country where I can go to church and I can hear the preaching of the Word of God without any repercussion. So preparation starts the night before. Preparation starts on the way to church. All right. Now I know you're all worried. 15 points. He took 10 minutes on the first one. We're going to be here for... Don't worry. I'm going to get you out sometime. Point number two. Now I'm at point number two. Come prepared to listen. Come prepared to listen. Don't just come. Don't just come and show up and fill up that 18 or so inches of the pew. Come with your mind made up that you're going to listen to what the Holy Spirit says through preaching. I would encourage you, if you're a little drowsy, sit on the edge of your seat. Bounce your knees like this. Put a little piece of candy in your mouth. Do what you need to do to stay awake. If you got a cough, bring a cough drop. If you wear a hearing aid, make sure your batteries are up to date. I mean, I'm being real practical tonight. Come prepared to listen. Don't leave your hearing aid at home. That tells me you ain't gonna listen. So come prepared to listen. Number three, listen with your eyes. Look right up here. I mean, if I see you with your eyes closed, my assumption is your ears are closed too. But if I see you with your eyes right on me, it sort of tells me that you're listening, that you're with me. Ladies, you know how it is. You're sitting at the breakfast table. Your husband's got the paper up in front of him. You're talking to him a mile a minute. And you ask the question, are you listening to me? Uh-huh. All right, what am I talking about? Oh, you're talking about the kids. You're talking about... Look at me when I'm talking to you. How many of you ever said that? Then you don't have to raise your hands. No, that's what I'm talking about. Look at me. I mean, when you look at me and you listen with your eyes, that's a good indication that your ears are open. Number four, sit where you can see and hear well. Look, just because you've always sat in the back doesn't mean you have to sit in the back. And I dare say, I'm just speaking for myself, I'm going to get more from the service if I sit right here, right in the middle of things, in spitting distance, than I am if I sit back there where Herb is. Now, I'm not saying that it's bad to sit in the back. I'm just saying if preaching is the most important thing that goes on, then you need to get in a place where you can hear and see well. I don't know how many people have told me, boy, I had to sit in the back for some reason. So I'll never do it again. I want to be right up front. See, when you sit up front, you can't see all the stuff that goes on in the back. You're not distracted. And a lot of things happen in a service. And if you sit in the back, you're going to be distracted. So sit in a place where you can see and hear well. Number five, understand that preaching is the tool that God has chosen to explain His Word. Titus chapter 1, verse 3. But hath in due times manifested, a word that means made known, but hath in due times manifested His Word through preaching. Through preaching. Look, this is the tool that God has ordained, that God has chosen to explain His Word. You'll learn more about the Word of God coming to Sunday school and sitting under Brother Leonard or Brother John and Chris and Candy in the nursery and Herb and Renee in Junior's church and Dick and Diane. You'll learn more. Say, well, they're not preachers. Yes, they are. That's what they're doing. They're preaching the Word of God. They're teaching the Word of God. You'll learn more from preaching and teaching than you will from reading any old book other than the Bible. Best commentary on the Bible is the Bible. And the best commentator on the Bible is a preacher or a teacher that stands and opens the Word of God. So, it's a tool that God has chosen. And we need to understand that when we come and hear preaching, that we're in the place that God wants us to be, doing what He wants us to do, understanding His Word. Number six, expect God to speak to you. Every time you come to a preaching service, you ought to expect God through the Holy Spirit to say something to you. It may be a statement, it may be one word, it may be a point, it may be two sentences, it may be an illustration. I mean, it could be a lot of different things, but every single sermon. Now listen, I know that I've laid a lot of duds up here when I preach. I'll freely admit that. But even in the duds, the Holy Spirit can take one point, one word, one thought, one idea, and put it into your heart and do something good with it. So every time we come, we ought to expect God to speak with us, to speak to us. Number seven, and I mentioned this, I think it was Wednesday night. You guys will have to help me. I can't remember when I mentioned it. Most Christians don't need big adjustments. They need little adjustments in their Christian life. I used an illustration. I don't remember when it was. But driving a car. When you're driving a car, even if you're on a straightaway, you don't need to make big turns. You just need to adjust a little bit. A bump in the road, a crack in the road, something like that. Just a little bit of an adjustment. That's the same thing in our Christian lives. Most of us don't need big adjustments. We don't need to make big turns. We just need to get things back on a straight and narrow way. We just need to make little adjustments. And so when we come and God uses preaching or uses teaching to give us one idea, one thought, one point, something, and the Holy Spirit says, hey, that's for you, then grab hold of it. And say, okay, what little adjustment do I need to make? Number eight. When the Holy Spirit does that, when the Holy Spirit touches your heart, I'd encourage you to walk the aisle and spend a moment at the altar. When the Holy Spirit, when you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Holy Spirit has said, hey, Chuck, that last sentence was for you. And you can feel it bubbling up in your heart. You know what I'm talking about. You can feel it bubbling up in your heart. I'd encourage you during the invitation to get out of your seat and come down here and say, Holy Spirit, I got it. And I'm going to do something with it. Number nine, I'd encourage you to walk the aisle if the Holy Spirit hasn't spoken to you in a while. If you sat service after service after service and the Holy Spirit's not giving you anything, I'd encourage you to walk the aisle and get on your face before God and say, God, you're not talking to me or I'm not listening. There's a problem. Help me see what it is. Number 10, I'd encourage you to walk the aisle. If the Holy Spirit doesn't move you, if you don't feel like walking it because He had moved you, I'd encourage you to get on a schedule to walk the aisle. Hey, it's the third Sunday night of the month. I haven't been to the altar since the last third Sunday night of the month. I'm going to the altar. You say, what's so special about coming to the altar? Well, it's a humbling experience. When you get on your knees before God, either because He's given you something or He hasn't given you something, what you're saying is, God, I know this is important. That's why I took the time to get ready and come. I got it tonight. I saw that thing you wanted me to change, that little adjustment you wanted me to make in my life, where I haven't got anything for the past 4 weeks. God, what's wrong? There must be something in my life. I want to get it straightened out because I know every time I come, You've got something for me. And I ain't been getting it. And I want to get whatever's in my life that's standing in the way, I want to get it clear. because I need to hear from you every time I come. Number 11, try to summarize the sermon in a phrase or two. When the sermon's over, when the Sunday school lesson's over, and the Holy Spirit's spoken to you about something, try to put down a couple words to remind yourself of what the Holy Spirit said. Maybe a sentence. I know some of you take notes. Jean writes down everything I said so she can go home and preach it to Brother Duane. But I know some of you take notes. But try to remember something that you heard and write it down somewhere. A couple words, a phrase, so that you can remember. Number 12, talk about the sermon on the way home. Talk about the sermon on the way home. Hey, I think this would be good, especially you that got kids. Debbie, Brian, Shelley. Hey, Andrew, what book did the preacher read out of tonight? 1 Corinthians. What was he talking about? Preaching. In fact, two of you riding home, I'd test each other. What book did he preach out of? What was his point? Talk about the sermon on the way home. Don't roast the preacher. Talk about the sermon. And test each other to see if each other make it just something that you do. to remind each other how important preaching is. Ask questions. Hey, what was the thing that stuck out in your mind from the message tonight? What was the thing that stuck out in your mind? If nothing's sticking out, maybe you ought to elbow them more often when you're sitting beside them. I mean, God's got something for us every time we come. So talk about it on the way home. Don't get in the car and start fussing. Don't get in the car and start talking about what you got to do tomorrow. You got to do it tomorrow anyway. Keep your attention focused and get all you can out of preaching on the way home. Number 13, tell somebody about the message tomorrow. You don't have to preach the whole message to them. But just say, hey, I heard a truth yesterday that I want to share with you. Or I heard an illustration yesterday that I want to share with you. Somebody that you run into tomorrow, just tell them about something that you heard today. I didn't take time to introduce the visitors, but I had one of my, I told Sam this before the service, right back there, about where Brother Chuck was sitting, was a young man and his wife, Ken and Ginger Ortiz. Ken is one of the international union reps that I work with. His wife is a Baptist. He grew up Catholic, and they don't go to church anywhere. I was in a meeting with them Friday with all the UAW reps. There was four of them. I invited them all to come to church, and Ken says, I'm coming. Ginger used to go to First Baptist of Schwartz Creek, and I thought maybe we knew each other for a little bit of time that I was old, but we didn't know each other. I'm sure that tomorrow Ken will go back, and he says, you'll never believe it. They were wearing overalls. He told this story. But that's what I'm talking about. Find one thing that you can talk to somebody about tomorrow. Mark the passage, the title, the date in your Bible. Circle the scriptures. If you go look at Brother Chuck's Bible, he's got every scripture that he's read down through these years marked in his Bible. Sometimes when I use the same scripture, he'll say, oh, you've been there before. And I always say, yeah, we'll be back there again sometime. And I think that's all right. Circle them in your Bible. And then number 15, expect the Holy Spirit to remind you of the truth that you've heard in preaching when you need it. You see, as truth is presented, it goes into our mind. We may not need it tomorrow. We may not need it next week. It may be next month. It may be next year. It may be years from now when we get into a situation and a truth that you've heard in a sermon comes back to your mind. That's the Holy Spirit reminding you. The Bible says in Romans 8, chapter 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit. How does the Spirit do that? It reminds us of the truth that we've heard from the Word of God. And just when you need that truth, when you get into that situation, that's when God and the Holy Spirit will remind you of it. Again, this has been very practical, simple kind of suggestions. But if preaching is important, and I think it is, and I think you think it is, or else you wouldn't be here tonight, then we ought to get everything that God has for us every time we come to this place. Every time. Let's pray. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for the simplicity and the practicality of the Bible. And I pray that all of us could take some of these suggestions to heart. And as we realize how important preaching is, what it does, it saves the sinner, it strengthens the saint. That every time we come, we'd expect to hear from you, and we'd commit to act on what we hear. And I pray tonight, Father, that as we think about this and as we apply it to our lives going forward, that preaching will be more important to us, that we'll get more out of it. I pray tonight, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, preaching of the Word of God is what shows them that they're a sinner and shows them that Jesus loves them. And I pray tonight they would make that decision. Speak to our hearts, do in our lives tonight what you know needs to be done. We'll give Jesus all the glory. It's in His name we pray. Amen.